Let us pray.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever been on a road trip? Anybody? Thank you. As you know, Margot and I have just completed one from Calgary to Vancouver and back. How many of you have at least one road trip or vacation in your mind that you liked? That you had a good time, that you remember? Wonderful. Awesome. I am Alan Ward, and today's message is Paying It Forward, Being Transformed by God's Love. And I want to thank you for gathering together today to worship God. Certainly in the summer, it gets hot, and the air conditioning is so tempting. Today, you will learn a modern-day parallel of the story of the Good Samaritan, and you will hear two modern-day examples of what the prophet Amos was describing in his day and age. So can I tell you a little bit about our trip this morning, or my story? Thank you. This road trip was with very good friends, Rosalind and Jan. Margot and I have known Rosalind since my first pastoral charge in Doaktown, New Brunswick. She and a Joyce Matheson were in Fredericton, New Brunswick, and we were part of a theater New Brunswick group. That was 30 years ago, unfortunately. Well, Rosalind bought a new car last year, a Honda CR-V, small SUV. It had a panoramic sunroof, which was awesome for going through the mountains, right? You can look up and see them in all their grandeur. Now, like most vehicles these days, Rosalind's car has a GPS in it. So it's kind of hard to get lost with a GPS, wouldn't you agree? I can tell by your reaction you know what's coming. Now, any guesses what Rosalind called her GPS? You're going to love this. She called her GPS Sexy Jean. Now, do you want to know why she called her GPS Sexy Jean? When she first got the car, she was trying to get used to this and get the car to recognize her voice. So she typed in going to St. James United Church in Calgary. And obviously she knew how to get there. She's lived there for over 10 years. So upon arriving, the GPS announced, "We are arriving at Sexy Jean United Church." She thought, well, maybe this will be better than I thought. No, I'm kidding. And it's because of that, when any of her electronic devices go haywire, she goes, well, they must be friends with Sexy Jean. So Sexy Jean got us to most places where we wanted to go, but we won't mention the couple of times that she has attitude. And unfortunately, once was in Vancouver, but fortunately, Jan lived in Vancouver and kind of knew how to get around. So today, I want to ask you, when you have ever been on a trip, and maybe you've been stranded by the side of the road or been lost, it could be on the highway, an airport, a train station, things did not go as planned. You know, maybe it was the GPS that didn't cooperate. You were stranded, lost. What happened? How did you get back on the road again or back home? Were there any angels unaware who came to your rescue? So anyway, share a story with someone around you or just think of a time when you were on such a trip. You can continue those stories out on the lawn. I think most of us have interesting getting lost or mishap stories on holidays. Now, when you look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, it is really hard not to let it become a cliche for helping others in need. We have heard it so many times. James Wallace, in a commentary, says this parable goes way beyond offering kindness to strangers, but rather is a story for people who realize they're on a journey in life. And not just from womb to tomb, but from birth to rebirth, from partial life to abundant life, or life in its fullness. Now, Jesus' listeners would have been very well aware of why the priest and the Levite moved to the other side of the road. They were probably on their way to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. And touching a dead body would make you ritually unclean, and you would have to go back home and start the process all over again. And I can sympathize a little with the priest and the Levite. I mean, who wants to touch a dead body? Remember, he was, you know, looked dead. You know, especially one you do not know. A person who's probably swollen, black and blue, and bloody from being beaten. I don't know about you, but it would kind of give me the creeps. But the Samaritan does not move to the other side of the road out of fear, but rather is moved by compassion. By what? Thank you. Compassion for the victim. Now, the first thing he would have to do, like modern day paramedics, I believe, is find out if the person is already dead or not. If you remember that first aid course here at the church, probably 2 years ago, you know, you put your head down by the person's mouth to see, to check for breathing. What was the first question the teacher of the law asked Jesus? Do you remember the first question? Thank you. That's the second question. Who is my neighbor? The first question, what must I do to receive? Thank you. Eternal life. To love God is to love your neighbor is to love God. It's God. And this ongoing flow of love is almost like a circle and allows eternal life to begin even now, as the parable confirms. Life is not womb to tomb, end of life issue, eternal life. This Samaritan has already received eternal life, and he is living it right here and now by helping this person by the side of the road, by being moved by compassion and being transformed by compassion. James Wallace goes on and talks about a more recent Good Samaritan story that points out this parable is more about the transformation of our hearts than simply doing a good deed. A few years back, a 12-year-old Palestinian boy named Ahmad Kehibab was shot and killed by Israeli soldiers during street fighting near his house in Jenin on the West Bank. He was playing with a toy gun. He was taken to an Israeli hospital where he died after 2 days. His parents were asked and then said yes to allowing his organs to be harvested for transplant to children in need. And they were all Israeli children. Think about that for a moment. An Israeli soldier, and I'm positive afterwards he was shocked and heartbroken, killed my child, and now I'm going to offer my child's organs so 6 other young Israeli children can live and possibly grow up and kill my grandchildren. Think about that for a moment. And his mother, Abla, said, "My son has died. Maybe he can give life to others." As James said, these parents made their own journey into the compassion of God and were living eternal life. Now, I'm sure some of you may be asking why I read that passage from Amos today. It is pretty, depressing. It's not very nice or hopeful. But the book of Amos reminds us that God's justice and kindness, or God's compassion, involves more than individual acts, and also includes challenging and changing economic systems that impoverish people. "Listen to this, you that trample on the needy and tried to destroy the poor of the country. You say to yourselves, 'We can hardly wait for the Sabbath to end so we can start selling again. Then we can overcharge, use false measures, and fix the scales to cheat our customers.'" Remember Weston, the bread, Loblaws, getting your cards back, $25? A challenging question for us today might be, who are the people left by the side of the road today? Any thoughts? Who do you think is left by the side of the road today? Refugees. Thank you. Anyone else? If you can't afford a university education, actually, absolutely. Mentally ill who are homeless? Absolutely. Mentally challenged, absolutely. There's plenty. Well, we were in Vancouver, we saw more than enough street people in downtown Vancouver, let me tell you. Unemployed. People who are unemployed. Wow. Did any of you see the picture of the 25-year-old El Salvador father and his 2-year-old daughter who were lying face down at the edge of the Rio Grande River after they tried to cross the end of June? Wasn't that just heartbreaking? When I read it, the father took the daughter to the other side, and then he went back to help his wife, and the daughter chased after her dad, and so he went back in to rescue her, lost his footing, and you know the end of the story. I enjoyed reading the article where the president of El Salvador announced, "We can say President Trump's policies are wrong. We can say Mexico's policies are wrong. Oscar and his daughter Valera fled our country. It is our fault. We haven't been able to provide anything, not a decent job, not a decent school. What if this little girl would have had a decent school here, decent healthcare system for her and her family, a decent house with a water supply, and a job for her parents?" Salvadorian President Bukele did go on to say he still condemns the treatment of migrants in the U.S. and Mexico, but kept emphasizing that El Salvador had to, quote, "focus on making our country better, making our country a place where no one has to migrate." I believe the prophet Amos would have enjoyed having a conversation with President Bukele about the unjust weights and measures in economic agreements that often are tilted against less developed countries. Now, has anyone here been watching and listening to the Democratic presidential debates or commentary on the debates that ceaselessly are going on? Okay, thank you. Trevor Noah had presidential candidate Andrew Yang on the other night, and he, like Amos, is being called the doomsday candidate. Can't imagine going far when you're called the doomsday candidate, right? I mean, Andrew is from the Silicon Valley, okay? He's great at math. He started a company, other things. Do you know what the acronym MATH he's changed into? Make America Think Harder. Kind of interesting. Make America Think Harder. Well, he says, remember, he's from the Silicon Valley, if we do not do something about robots and artificial intelligence, it is over for human beings. Sounds like a sci-fi movie, doesn't it? Here's some statistics. There are currently 16.9 million Americans out of work. In the coming years, that's a lot of people, guess how many more are going to lose their jobs? Any guesses? What? 20 million, thank you. 100 million. Going once? Going twice? Try 46.2 million more will lose their jobs. No, in the coming years. Okay, maybe in the next 5 years. Why? Do you know what they're going to lose their jobs to? Thank you. Robots, automations, artificial intelligence, call centers will be, you know, people will be replaced by, you know, computers. Did you know that the retail workers are the number one job in the United States? Number one job. Who's replacing them? Have you ever heard of Amazon? Anyone here heard of Amazon? Shopping online. Amazon is currently closing 30% of American stores and malls. Any idea how much Amazon pays in taxes? Bingo, zero. Think of the billions of dollars they make. They pay no taxes. Andrew Young is proposing to set up a system where American people get their fair share of every Amazon sale, Google search, truck, robot mile, putting $1,000 a month in the hands of every American so American people feel they are benefiting from all this progress and innovation. You did hear truck robot mile, right? Okay. Did you know that in 29 states, truck driving is the number one job? 29 states. Staggering. So Trevor asked, who is going to pay for this? And aren't people just going to become lazy, non-productive, if you just hand them a check? Well, Andrew is promising that a very, very small tax on every artificial intelligence interaction be collected. And from his studies of people or places that have tried guaranteed annual income, only two groups of people work less. Any guesses? It's a lottery on who those two groups of people are that work less with a guaranteed annual income. New mothers, so they can stay at home and look after the children. Older teens and those like in early 20s, so they can stay in school longer and graduate at a higher level than they did before. Don't you think both of those sound like good things? You know, and nothing personal. Have you tried to live on $1,000 a month? Okay. You're still motivated to do more. Now, while a guaranteed annual income sounds like something new, remember it was, you know, it was started here in Ontario, a test pilot project. Did you know that it was talked about 50 years ago? That Martin Luther King Jr. was talking about it in 1967. That blew me away when I learned that. He says, you want a solution to poverty? Guaranteed annual income. Another thing I was surprised at is that Facebook CEO Chairman Mark Zuckerberg has showed support for the idea at the 2017 convocation at Harvard University, where he was the guest speaker. The prophet Amos would be very pleased that public leaders and business leaders were addressing the needs of the needy and finding ways to help pull up the poor of the country rather than pushing them farther down. To love God is to love neighbor, is to love God. And this ongoing flow of eternal life, of love, allows eternal life to begin even now, as the parable of the Good Samaritan confirms. This parable is so much about so much more than simply being a helpful stranger. It is a story of transformation for travelers on the road. Travelers who are making their own journey into the compassion of God right here and right now. Remember that GPS I talked about earlier? The one that helped us travel through the Rockies, Vancouver, Victoria, and more? Well, one author suggests that the parable of the Good Samaritan is a scriptural GPS for travelers on the road of life, routing them in the only direction that God desires, the way of love and compassion for others. Thanks be to God. Amen. And our next hymn, and I believe this was one that was out of that Green United Church book.